at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines on the bottom. The Moshe Agabeim. This Moshe was in charge. Now, this really, this Gemara has nothing to do with Sanhedrin, per se, but it's an interesting one, and actually is a new Pshat of Chumash, which I never saw before. I mean, it's not new, because it's been here for thousands of years, but for me, it's new. Now, when this is a good referring to Parshas Baloscha. In Parshas Baloscha, Moshe takes the 22,273 firstborns and redeems them for 22,000 Levim. Right? Any recollection of that? The thing is, what he did with the extra 273? Any recollection of what he did with the extra 273? He made a lottery, and he put lots into the pot, and the 273 of them said five shkolim, and five sloim, and those five b'choros who drew those lots, which had five sloim, they had to actually pay for their redemption. They couldn't, a Levi couldn't redeem them. Any recollection of that whatsoever? Total blank? Oh my gosh, guys. What?
It was the summertime.
Actually, I don't know if it's what it was called, also. Maybe it's in Nassau. I can't find the exact sukkim here. It might be in Nassau, might be in Baloscha. I think it's in Baloscha, but yeah, this is a difficult Chumash to use for this purpose. Okay, anyway, it's somewhere in here. Somewhere here it says that when they wanted to redeem the Levim, they took the 22,000. Thank you. The right place. I don't think all the pages are actually in this one. I'm pretty sure it's about this one.
Is it the 4 inch by even so?
What? No, it's before. It'd be before. Okay, I don't want to waste more time. Anyway, it's somewhere there. It says that that's what they did. So the way they did it is very interesting, the way it says it here. It says, David HaKadosh Solo Moshe, oh, by Midbar Gimel. By Midbar Gimel. That was maybe some by Midbar proper. Yeah, it's in by Midbar proper. That's why I couldn't find it. In by Midbar proper, verse... Shishi, which is for chapter 3, verse 40, Gimel Mem, says, And the Lord said unto Moses, this is from the Herod's Chumash, number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. And thou shalt take the Levites for me, even the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered as the Lord commanded all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males according to the number of names for a month old and upward. Of those that were numbered of them were 22,213. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, even the Lord's. And as for the redemption of the 23,013 of the firstborn of the children of Israel that are over and above the number of the Levites, thou shalt take 5 shekels apiece by the pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary thou shalt take them, the shekel is 20 geros. And thou shalt give the money wherewith they that remain over of them are redeemed unto Aaron and unto his sons. And it says here somewhere in Rashi, can I have the Rashi there, please? Says in Rashi, he says here that the way they used to do that is, and Rashi brings down, Moshe said, how shall I do this? Any firstborn whom I tell to pay the 5 shekels will say, I am from those redeemed by the Levites. What did he do? He brought 22,000 slips and wrote Levite on them, and 273 slips, and he wrote 5 shekels on them. He mixed them together and placed them in a container. Then he told them, come and choose your slips by lot. Okay, and that's Gemara Sanhedrin in the Bavli. Okay, so he wrote, according to the Bavli, he wrote 22,000 pieces of paper, Levi, and 273 pieces of paper, 5 shekels. And he put them in a container, and they did a lottery. But that's not precisely how the Yerushalmi learns. Okay, what the Yerushalmi learns is like this. The Yerushalmi says, Amasa Natal Srim. First it says like the Bible, but then it's gonna change. So he says again, Dorat Takanas of Moshe, Bishah Hashem Elo Kodesh Baruch Hashem said, V'kol kol b'chor zachor, count every male firstborn b'nei Yisroel. Omar, he said, Eitzim b'kabo lo of Litein, Chamesh Shkom Megulgos, which one's gonna volunteer? Oh. To take 5 shekel. Welcome back from Jacksonville. Ma'asa. Was it exciting?
No.
Ma'asa. Oh. Okay. Our condolences. Ma'asa. What did he do? Natal Shnayim Vesrim Pe'ela Pitkin. He took 22,000 Pitkin. A piece of paper. Because the name Ben Levi wrote on that Ben Levi, the two men of the Reish on Gimel 270. Because the name Chamisha Shkolim wrote 5 shekel. The Tilm and Kalpi put him into a container. Amalusi said, "Both Lupi Tekechem, come and take your lots." Komisha Olabi other Ben Levi. Anybody would said Ben Levi. Hayom Meluk Far Bdocha Ben Levi. Your luck. You got redeemed by Levi. Anybody who got the lot for 5 shekel, he said, what can I do? Too bad you have to spend money. We realize that in Judaism that's the worst thing possible, but that's life. Now, it's amazing. You have to write a book someday. Rabbi Nechemia would be a bestseller. Now, that's all in the Bible. The Bavli brings it down. Now the Yerushalmi comes in with its unique contribution. Rabbi Yehoshua Nechem, Mesiv Tani L'Chavri, one asked his friend, couldn't the guy say, no, it's not fair. Of course somebody had to get 5 shekels, right? Because you only put in enough slips for 22,000 Levim. So of course, I would, by the time it got to me, there were no other slips left. So that's why I got Chamesh Shkolim. But who said God chose me? It's a fascinating theological thing. Who said God chose me to be the one? It's your fault, Moshe. Right? Had you given God a choice, God could have given me a slip which said Levi. But he made a finite number of slips, so therefore there weren't enough slips to give me a Levi slip. So therefore, Elakachasa. So what did he do? And this is the unique Yerushalmi. Not Oshnaim Eshim Elaptikim, because of Levi, you took the Rome 22,000 Levi, and Reish I give another 270 because of Lame Levi. He wrote out 22,273 slips Levi, which covered everybody. For Reish Lakimel and 273 besides that, he wrote 5 shekel. So, altogether. Not bad. Okay. Okay. So altogether, there were actually 273 additional slips in the container. So really, theoretically, nobody had to pick Levi, right? And nobody had to pick a 5 shekel. Everybody could have picked Levi. And those, Amar Lemi said, Bo, the Tlupitrechem, come and take your slips. Call Mishalo Biyad Levi, anybody got Levi, Amar look far up to Acha Levi. You already redeemed for Levi. Call Mishalo Biyad Chamesh Shekoim, anybody who got 5 shekoim. Amar Lemi said, Ma said, what can I do, Mina Shamayim, Woods, Mina Shamayim. So obviously, this way, the guys who got 5 shekoim, Moshe said to them, listen, if God chose you, because there was enough slips for you to get Levi, it's your problem, right? It's a fascinating Yerushalmi, okay? Meisi Tanya Chavrei, so one asked the other one, we don't know who said what in this conversation, Rabbi Nechema. Hagat Flash Ola Kulam Levi, wasn't he taking a chance? All of them could have come out Levi. Then we'd have been up the creek, because he wouldn't have enough Levim to cover the 273 extra, right? Because he only had 22,000 Levim for 22,270 Bechiris. So the answer is, Amar Leisa said, Maisa Nesoya. It was a Maisa Nesoya. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to do this. So Hashem arranged, it'll come out okay. Umasuraginalu. Not only that, they came up 1-1. In other words, the 273 Levim, they didn't all come up in one batch. Because that also looked like a, 273, 5 Shkoli. Because that also looked like a fix, right? They were all one part of the container, right? So therefore they came up in, you know, what sort of, what? Not random, but alternate. Right, alternate. Okay. Rabbi Shua said, so it sounds like Adaita Tanya Choraya, according to the second Tanya, holds that there were 273 extra slips, mice and nisim, there was an ace. Adaita Tanya Karmaya, ain't no mice and nisim, but it sounds like according to the first Tanya, it's not a miracle because there only were 22,273 notes altogether. Lots. Amar Leisa said, no, kulan mice and nisim. Even Tanya Kama, who's like the Babli holds are only 22,273 altogether, also to the mice and nays. Umisu Ragin are you? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu arranged that they should come out in alternate order. Why is that? So people should have a time and say, well, it was fixed, it wasn't mixed enough, he didn't cut the deck well enough, so therefore they came out mixed and was a nays, even according to the first opinion. Says more Antoninus, one of the Roman hegemons, the governors, Shos Rabbi Yochum Betzakai, yes, Rabbi Yochum Betzakai. Bichlal Chaser, when you count the number of all the Levium, all together says 22,000 in the Chumash. Yet, Ubifrad, if you count each individual family, Gershon, Kozin, Morori, and you add them together, you say them, there are 300 more. In other words, if you count Gershon, Kozin, Morori, and add together, you get 22,300. The Torah says the entire tribe at 22,000. What's the discrepancy? Amar Leh, so he said, how do we attribute it? How do we explain the discrepancy? So Rabbi Yochum responded, also, Shlosh Mios Yisrael, those initial 300, Bechorei Kuna Hayu, they were Bechorim Lab, not of Kuna, of course, because it's talking about Levim, but they're Bechorim. Vein Kodosh Motzi De Kodosh. They couldn't redeem a lay of a firstborn Israel, because they were redeeming themselves, because they were Levium and firstborn, so they redeemed themselves, so therefore left to remain the Levium, they're only 22,000, not 22,300. Okay? Now, exact similar discussion concerning another case in the Chumash. And if you didn't remember that case, you're not going to remember this case either. In Ma'amid Bar Yudalef, it talks about the 70 elders. That's Takadi and the Parshas Baloscho. Any recollection of that? Be honest. What? No recollection, right?
Discussion with the elders about what?
Where Moshe actually picks the 70 elders for the first time.
First Like a
stick
or something.
Yeah. A stick?
Oh, don't they put
rods
or something? Different time?
That's different time. That's after the Meraglim. After Korach, sorry. So, what? Lots, yes, lots, correct. Okay. Very good. Hey, Sky knows Chumash. Eldad and Medad. Yes. Okay. Okay, good. Mr. Zuga, I'm proud of you. Okay. So in any event, that's what it says there, this thing. It says, let me just find it. Amidbar 11. Where does it say about the lots, though? Yeah, in verse 16 it says, Hashem said to Moshe, gather 70 men from me from among the elders of Israel, men whom you know to be the people's elders, and its officers, and you shall take them to the tent of meeting, and they shall stand there with you. So Rashi says, how do they pick them? They picked them. Actually, he doesn't say over here. He says it in Pasuk Chavav 26. Two people remained in the camp. One's name was Eldad, the other second one's name was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them, and they were among those inscribed. And they did not go out to the tent, they prophesied in the camp. So Rashi explains here, among those chosen for the Sanhedrin, they were all inscribed specifically by names and by drawing lots. Since the appropriate amount for 12 tribes is 6 for each tribe, except for 2 tribes, each one received only 5. Moshe said, no tribe will listen to me subtract one elder from its tribe. What he did, took 72 notes, wrote elder on the 70, and left 2 blank. He then chose 6 from each tribe, totaling 72. He told them, take your notes from the container. Whoever chose elder was sanctified. To those who chose the empty ones, he said, the omnipresent does not want you. Okay? So, so in any event, it says here. Now, okay. So here we have the issue here. So says the Gemara. Yomeshah Moshe, we're esfuli shimish mizikne Yisrael. Just after Bamid, but you don't have the Torah or margin. Amar Moshe said, "Imod etol shishim mikol shev. If I take 6 from each tribe, I raise shimish 9, there will be 72. Asorah mishisha, if I take." From 10 tribes 6, Rushayan Chamisha, and from 2 tribes 5, Eidu Shem Makabal of Leo's program, one Shem will accept the damage. Masa went to Notel Shim Pitkin. He took 70 slips of paper. Kuslaim Zokin, he wrote on them Zokin. Rushayan Chok and 2 of them left blank. We deal in coffee, he put them in the container. Armalem, he said, both to Pik Trechem, come and take your lots. Kosha Labio, the Zokin, anybody who got Zokin, or Yamalo, he said, they appoint you from the heavens. Anybody got blank? He said, what can I do? Who it's mina shemayim. Now again, the same thing, same discussion we had before. That's the way, the conventional way of learning. Rabbi they had a discussion. Mason Tani Chaver once said to his friend, Tani Zokin, so Silkas. What? Let's somebody say, you know, I didn't get it because he didn't write down Zokin 72 times. So somebody had to get picked the bad lots, so therefore it's your fault, it's not from Hashem. El Kacha says, what do you do to make sure it was from Hashem? Notel Shim Rishnayim Pitkin, we took 72 pieces of paper. The Kuslaim Zokin, on those he Taka wrote Zokin. How 72? Rishnayim Chalok, he put 2 blank ones, Vitil and Kalfi, and put it into the container. Armas, they said, both will be Tchechem, come and take your slots. Mishol Abiyado Chalok, Mishal Abiyah the Zokin, somebody who got the lot which said elder. Well, Amar Lo, they said, fine, we do come to Shrine, they ready to appoint you from heaven. Mishal Abiyah the Chok, somebody who got a clean one. Amar Lo, he said, So, Macy, Tanya, Chavre, again, the same question before. Hagatz, Moshe, Olu, Kulam, Zokin. How could Moshe Rabbeinu have been sure that not everybody would draw a Zokin, then it'd be up the creek again? Amar Lo, he said again, Mais and Nisim Hoyo. It was a mice and isim, but also Mr. Gordon and Olu. They came out alternatively, not both together. Amar Shlomo Shmuel said, "Kushi said, 'Come here, Avoh. I had difficulty to Rabbi Avoh. I'll die to the Tanya Acherim.' According to the Tanya Acherim, the second Tana, it sounds like it's a Maisa Nisim. According to the first Tana, in a Maisa Nisim, perhaps it's not a Maisa Nisim. Amalisa said no Maisa Nisim, according to the first Tana, as well, came out as an ace, that Maisa Nisim, Musrong Elu, they came out alternatively. They didn't come out both together, ones which were blank. Okay? Period. Now we're going to blithely ignore pshat in the rest of the Gemara until the end of the parak. We're just going to run through without understanding. Do you know why? Because it's arithmetic. Mm-hmm. What is our opinion about arithmetic? Ooh, bad. Okay. Shantini Antugninus. I have a math teacher here in the shir. I'm not embarrassed. He said, Rabchem, your master, Moshe Rabbeinu, oh Ganava, he was either thief or loya baki b'cheshbon, or he didn't know math. It's fine with me. If he knew math, it would be bad by me. All right. So in any event, the Chassidim says, you take a half a shekel per person. If you're going to go according to the cheshbon of kintara, which is a certain way of measuring money, mea litra, then it should have been 100 litra. V'chad min ishta ganav, and he stole 1/6. Because when it gives the final tally of how much he collected, which is actually this week's parsha somewhere, in parsha Kudei, it gives the final tally of how much collected. So it's 100 mana something, 100 kikar something, right? So according to the cheshbon of kintara, which is a standard cheshbon of weight count, the money should have been like 120 something, and he came out that he stole like a sixth, okay? Sixth of the total, the 20 kikor out of the 120. Itavdina shitin litra, if you're going to say that the measure is not 100 litra, but 60 litra, then per kikor, then kapalga gonna be stole half, because it should have been 200 kikor instead it's 100 kikor. Take it on faith that this is the question, okay? I know you have no desire to actually know even more about it, right? Okay, great. You're men after my own heart. Amalei, so he said it. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Amalei, Moshe Rabban, Moshe Rebbe, Gizbor Naman. He was a trustworthy treasurer. Ubaki Cheshbon, and he knew Cheshbon. Amalei, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai continues. He says, Foxiv, and it says, the copper from which they took was a string kikor, was 20 kikor. And if this comes out, if you learn it properly, tishin vishis litrin, it's 960 litrin. And if you reckon it properly, it comes out to a proper cheshbon in detail of what he collected. Okay, on my lay. So he said, "Mishum de lo soli kintera." Says so. Antigino said back, "No, it's only because you didn't make it. You didn't count it as kintera. Mitema soli kintera. If you can make it as kintera, pal gagana, then he stole half." Okay, again, take it all on faith. Amarle said, "So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said." See what do you do with this? It says for elef shvamils v'chamisha v'shivim. Says 1,755 and 75. So v'ha'ita lon saukin shivim v'chad litrin. This would come out to 71 liter, and with certain other measure. But protrot, if you make it detailed, then somehow or another that makes it work out. And again, if the Hegmon said, Bishum Vlo Soli Kintra, it works only because you make a Kintra. But otherwise, if you make Kintra, Pago Gun, if he stole half. Okay? Again, I have no idea what's flying, but basically the question still stands. So now the more comes to answer the question. How do we know he didn't steal? On Malays, they said, I'll tell you. Voxiva to Paskin Yechezka. But it says, Vashekla Srim Gera Esrim Shkolim. The Shekel was 20 Gera and 20 Shkolim, and Chamisha Vesrim Shkolim, another 25. Asarav Chamisha, I'm sorry, it's a shekel stream gero, a shekel 20 gero, which is a stream shkolim, and for Chamesh for a stream shkolim, 20 and 25. Asarav, that's 55. Chamisha shekel, money yelachem. It says there that a money is 60 shekel. okay? Which is and that's equivalent to 20 gera. But we know that a mana is 30 shekel. So how to get it to be 60? So the answer is that kikaro shakurish baruchu hu kaful vaya. And when we're dealing with the kikar of hekesh, it's worth twice as much as a regular kikar. Oh. And this is ruined pasuk in Cheskel. So therefore, Moshe didn't steal all the weights of Torah, exactly half of what he collected. Why is that? Because the wet measure of hekesh is always twice the measure of normal human interaction. And we know that that's the case, okay? So Amalei, so he could finish. Gizbar Namanoya Baki Becheshmanoya. Moshe Rabbeinu was trustworthy and he knew Cheshbon. Now, I might say, there are many, many Gersa changes in the Mefarshim in the previous Gemara. I knew you'd all be very interested in all these Gersa changes, and therefore I told them all to you. Oh, whoops. Anyway, but Lemaisa, were we really to try to understand the Cheshbon, it would take a lot of Gersa changes in the Gemara.
Insinuate that Moshe...
Yeah, it was a guy. He was trying to taunt the Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Hegemon was trying to taunt Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai, saying, you know, you Jews, Moshe Rabbeinu was a thief, right? Okay? Okay. Did anybody feel bad about... It was okay, right? No problems, right?
What?
No problems with the arithmetic, right?
We went through this in the
Bible. Okay. Yeah, something in peril does appear in the Bible. Okay, it was equally painful, more painful. Says Mara, Mishnah, new pair. Kohen Gadol don v'donin oso. Kohen Gadol judges and he can't be judged. Maid, he testifies, minim oso, and they testify against him. Cholitz, he does chalitza v'cholitza mishnah. And they do chalitza to his wife after he dies. Umiyab mishnah, they can be miyab of his wife as well. Vuhay miyab, but he of course cannot do even because he has to marry Dafka a besula. And he should also about money. He's not allowed to marry a widow, right? Mace, no mace. If somebody dies in his family, Rachmana Litzlan, somebody from his has to go to Avelus, any Yitzhakamita, he cannot follow the coffin. When they go out of an alley, he goes into that alley. Hey Niglin, if they go into an alley, Vunirse, he has to not be in that alley. In other words, he always tells them it's not immediately with the coffin. And he goes out to the opening of the city, no more, even right mayor. Rabbi Yudah Meir says, "Any Yitzim in Hamikdash, she never leaves the base of Hamikdash. Never for Avelus, of course. She never says Minarik Dashle. It says he does not leave the base of Hamikdash. Says Manicha Don. I understand he judges. Don't you know? So why does he have to go to court? Even the Atlan, let him appoint a lawyer. I never saw the word Atlan before, but that's what it means. Atlan means a lawyer. Okay, it means let him appoint himself a lawyer. So so says the word." A God's question of shvua. That works unless he's liable for shvua. Not larbi shvua, but can not larbi take a shvua. In other words, a shvua is always a personal, you know, obligation on the person who's a litigant. So a non larbi lawyer can do the, or a proxy, can do the court case if there's no shvua, but if there's a shvua, and then the Kohen Gadol has to be himself appear in court or take the shvua. Says, my dinim mamishlo bekama. Didi Mominus, how many people? Now, I probably say, Didi Mominus, Bekama, there are two different interpretations here. The conventional understanding is how many people judge the Kohen Gadol when he has a monetary issue which he has to take to court. And it says here 23. But the Osmael says a fascinating thing. He says, no, yeah, it's the opposite. He says, when a Kohen Gadol sits in judgment on a monetary matter, the court which convenes has to be a court of 23. Because it doesn't pass, because in a court, says the Arsameh, in a court of three, so it'll come out that three people, that two people overrule the Kohen Gadol. It's not nice. Doesn't pass. If you want to overrule the Kohen Gadol, you need to have a more sizable crowd. So therefore, you have to have a basin of 23. Among them is the Kohen Gadol, in order for the Kohen Gadol to sit in judgment, not to be judged. Again, the conventional shot is that you need 23 to judge the Kohen Gadol. But the Arsameh says it means the Kohen Gadol needs 23 people to be part of that basin. Okay, it can't be a part of basin three. It's not proper and befitting
but
for his coming.
There'll still be two people overruling him.
There'll be more than two people overruling him.
If it's a close call.
Oh, hypothetically, yeah, you're right. But in the mice, you know, there's more. It's more dignified. Okay, says the Mare. So first I want to ask the question. 23. Yishmini Meto, it's certain for Enam Melech Yishim Sanhedrin. The king is not part of, does not sit in the Sanhedrin. Lomelech Kohen Gadol, nor does the king Kohen Gadol. Yoshim Bibur, can they sit in on the deliberations to make a leap year? Why is Erech Enam Raimona? Chadam once said that the reason why they don't sit in deliberations, Enam Melech Yishim Sanhedrin. The reason why the king doesn't sit in Sanhedrin is Mibnei HaChashad, because we might be, we're afraid that he might start, politicking to change the judgment. And Velobi Ibor, then nor can he sit in on the leap year, May leap year Mibnei HaChashad, because we're afraid that he might make a leap year in order to feed his soldiers less, because he fed his soldiers per year, not per month. So therefore, may want a leap year in order to have to feed them less that year, right? So it says the Gemara, below Melchai Gordo Yoshi be Ibor, where a king and a Kohen Gadol cannot sit in the Ibor, in the deliberation over making an extra month. Because it's not proper for a king to only sit among seven. Remember, we said at most in the Yibor Shana issue, there are seven people involved. So it's not possible for a Kohen Gadol to sit with seven. So from here, there's some act right that the same is true about a Kohen Gadol. That's why you need your base of 23. Because it doesn't pass, it's not befitting for him to sit together with six other people and deliberate. Okay? Says the Gemara, let's see like this. B'shiva, and this is what it basically says. B'shiva ain't kvoto le'shev. In seven, it's not taking part from him to sit. Koshke and b'shloish is certainly true by three, it's not taking part from him to sit. So Adam Ras teaches us, Dini Mamishlon, again, you need to learn what's going on when he's judged in the case, or when he's part of the judging tribunal, then even Dini Mamonis has to be Best Rimmer Shlosh has to be 23. Amar Lezer said, if Kohen Gadol will sin, Malkin also, we beat him, we flog him. But you leave him in post. In other words, even though he's sinned, he has to be publicly reprimanded for that or punished, and nevertheless can be left in his post. Amrei Mudramana said, "Kaseiv it says, Kinezer Sharon Mishchas Elokav." This is how we learn now. Kinezer Sharon Mishchas Elokav. He has the anointed oil of his God, Ani Hashem. I am God. What is Hashem saying? Ani Hashem. Kiyoch, so to speak. Mani Bikdushasi, just like Aritei my holiness. Even I retain his holiness, even if there are troublesome situations which occur in his life. Says my Chanina Ksukesuva, Chanina the Sofer, Rabbi Yaakov Mishloga said, "Kohen Gadol Shechata, Kohen Gadol Sin, Malkin Oso, we flog him." Right? And how many justices, however? Now here it's the opposite of his report. In Teva Sim Shlosha, if you're going to say in 23 justices, Nimsay Sali also, so his upgrade, the 23 over 3, is he redoes so, is a downgrade, because it's more embarrassing for him to be flogged in front of 3 people, right? In front of 23 people. So therefore, Reish Lakish Amar, Nazi Shechot, the Malkin Oso, Beitzin Shlosha. That's why he dafkin the Beitzin of 3. Now, Says more, Mam Chazrimly. Do we bring the after he's been flogged? Do we put him back in his former position? Kohen Gadol. Amar Chagai said in. Yes, we put him back. He took an oath by Moshe Rabbeinu. Machzirin. He said, "Ain machzirin." He said, "We don't take him back." 1 second. We don't put him back in the nesius. Why is that? Because it decuts alone. If we put him back after we flogged him, he's going to kill us. He's going to take revenge. He's going to kill us for having flogged him. So if a Kohen Gadol gets flogged, leave him in no man's land. You don't actually return to his post. So again, Rabbi, so getting back to this for a second, I just want to stress this again. The convention of Shani Mori is that you flog him in a court of three, but he's judged monetarily in a court of 23, which is very paradoxical, right? So because, you know, you care about his bodily kavod, but have it diminish to three. And when you care about its monetary kavod, it's the opposite. You raise it to 23. It's paradoxical, but that's where it says, except for Kodesh Yosemite, because Yosemite says that the 23 is not necessary when you're judging him, but rather when he's acting as judge. Then there'd be 23 for the kavod of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so according to him, it's not as unpalatable an issue.
Even if you're judging him, isn't it more kavod to be judged by 23?
Not if you're going to the Malkus. No, not if it's going to.
You can do the Malkus for three.
No, they do it from the whole basin. No, they do it from the whole basin. They don't have to be there, but they do it from the whole basin. Okay? Says the Gemara, Shom Rabina Nasiya. So Rabina Nasiya heard the cause. He got angry that they say nasty things about the house of the Nasi. Right? So, since that's the case, now, he was angry at Reish Lakish, I guess, because he said you only need is three for Malkus. You don't need 23. So therefore, Orek L'dom Marcel Ginson, he sent a policeman who met Reish Lakish and to grab Reish Lakish. Tarfon, so Reish Lakish, literally means they tried to grab him, but he got away. Tarfon, they came to grab him. Orek L'dom Mugla, but Reish Lakish was quick. He ran to a certain tower. A place called a tower. These morning some say the Kfar Chitlod, Kfar Chitaya ran to Kfar Chitaya. The Mocha, the next is.
Yeah,
it's right in the Territory, too. The Mocha, the next day, Sokrai Bilhom, the base manager, Bilhom went to Bilhom base matter. You came to the base manager, Sokrai Bilhom, the seal base matter, and Rabbi Yudhom the Nazi came up to the base manager. Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yudhom the seal said to Rabbi Yochan, who was obviously putting on a show, he said, Lama leis Maria Marlon Bilo deraisa, why don't you say anything to Vetera? So Shari Tafach Pachadi Yadis, so Shlokas started banging you with one hand. I guess. So, even to see, according to Pei Recorinator, he said he thought Shlokas wants to show the look of clapping to the Talmudim, so he wanted to demonstrate clapping, right? So he said, Amalei Vachada Tafkin, why are you only using one hand? Use both, right? So says the Gemara on my lay. So he said Rabbi Yochanan said lo, right? I'm not going to bang with two hands. It should say in lo ben Lakish. If ben Lakish is not here, lo, I'm not going to clap with two hands. That's actually playing Reish Lakish's words. Because what's the Hebrew name? Because what's the Hebrew word for Reish Lakish? What's the Hebrew word for knocking or banging? Nakish.
Lakish.
So he's saying, I'm not banging with two hands until I get my banger back. Right, because Lakish, Nakish is similar words. Okay, I guess you have to have been there. Anyway, that's what the Mashbiach says. So it says, the more topical you don't have, Amar Lay, so he said, so Rabbi Nasir said, fine, we'll bring him back. Allah should be on Amifatka. Where does he hold up? Where is it open, but where does he hold up? Amalei, so he said, by the Megalta, Megalta, he said, it's in Magdor. Amalei, so Yochanan said, Lebocha, Onavad, Nepuk, Lekadme. Tomorrow we'll go, both of us, in Pisa. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Reish Lakish, so Rabbi Yochanan sent Reish Lakish, Fahim Mesa. Asalach Mila Dorai, so prepare yourself a Shtikul Torah, then the sea on the Fahim Kamak, and the Nosi is coming to see you. Another Kadmeon, he came to greet them. Umar, he said, Rigma didchon, he said this to the Nasi, your image is Daniel Libriaschon, is like a human image. So, no, it's like your creator's image, sorry. He said, in other words, you're very handsome. Kadas Rachman al Mifrok, he said to Rabbi Yudhan Asiya, by the way, Shlomo said to Rabbi Yudhan Asiya. And he said, how is it similar? Not just in handsomeness, or perhaps not even in handsomeness, but rather in the following thing. He said, Kras Rachman al Mifrok, Yas Yisrael, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to redeem the Jews, Lo Sholach, he didn't send, Lo Sholiach, he didn't send an emissary, right, as an Agoda, Lo Sholiach, Lo Malach, not an emissary or an angel, Elohu Batzimu, it says he himself. The Chesiv, it says, Vavayti Baruch Hu Yitzrayim, I will pass through the land of Egypt. And I guess it says Saimba Kriyab Siyamsu there as well. Who, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, Bechol Dagon Didei, and all his categories of underlings come with him. So, Omar Lay, so he said, Umachomis Meimar. Skipped? 1 second. Umachomis Meimar HaMilsa. So he says, so if that's the case, why did you say what you said yesterday, which was chutzpahdik, you know, about a king only for that the king only requires three because he might be embarrassed for Malkus or the Kohen Gadol actually. So why did you say what you said yesterday? So he said, I'll tell you why I said yesterday, because that's the halacha. What can I do about the halacha? He says, the Mara Vishmur Rav Yitzchak Albaniki Loto Vashmur. Eli's kids were told by their father Shmuel, or I mean, Eli's kids were told by his father Eli, that stop messing around, otherwise you're giving the kuna a bad name. So there, what do we see over there? He says, we see over there that we rebuke people, right? I forget how we went over the apostle one time. It's where the emotion dies from. That's the pasuk. Albany, my children, desist. Kloto shavur, because not grumus are you doing? Ashanochi shomea, that which I say here. My vir namashem, that you turn away the nation of God. So, so it means that the children of Eli were not being makriv korbanos of everybody who came. So, what does that do with our issue? I'm not sure we're going to help with that. Yeah, we're still trying to learn out. I mean, I know we're trying to learn. I'm not sure how we learn. It's trying to say you're not supposed to be afraid of anybody in saying Divrei Torah. So he says, right, the Bnei Moshe says, somehow Eli was being mefarsim that his kids were sinners, even though it obviously was going to damage his honor and his respect. Nevertheless, he was willing to do it. Something like that. He was willing to divulge his kids were sinners and forego honor in order to get them to do the Rajah Hashem, which ultimately he failed to do him, but that's what he's trying to do. Okay. Says the Lord, Rabbi Lezer Shem Ravkana said. Now this is actually going to Gemara and Horio. It's not related directly to us, but it comes back to us, unfortunately, even though it's not related to Sanhedrin. Lamalon, when a Kohen Gadol does Kriya, he doesn't do Kriya like everybody else. Lamalon, Lamalon, Mikone Safa. Above means above the hem or the seam. Lamaton, the Kohen Gadol can't rip there. Lamaton, Kohen Gadol can rip below the seam. Lamaton, Lamaton, Mikone Safa. You can rip below the hem, right. No, it's not at the hem, but beneath the hem. Rabbi Yomar, Lamatzon Mamash. Rabbi Yomar says, Kohen Gadol can't rip his clothes at all, only on the very bottom of his clothes, in a very unobtrusive place, all the way at the bottom of whatever he's wearing. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan, Salak Mevakri Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yochanan went to visit Rabbi Chanina to go istrato in the middle of the public thoroughfare in the street. Shamed Adamach, so he heard that Rabbi Chanina died before he got to be a Vakar Cholim. He now went to go to Menachem Avel. Says the Gemara Amar, so he said, Shlach, send a messenger, Vaisi Monei Tavio and bring my good clothes, the Shubsa, the Shabbos clothes, Uvazay, and he ripped his Shabbos clothes. Okay? In other words, he asked his Shabbos clothes, he wasn't wearing them, and he ripped his Shabbos clothes. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan polyg or Rabbi Yehuda betate. Rabbi Yochanan argues Rabbi Yehuda in two things. For these two things. Later on, to Pnei Moshe brings down last one, the narrow lines on the right-hand column. He says, later on, Rabbi Yehuda says that you have to do kriya on each and every mace from the hem. And I guess Rabban Har hold you can continue to expand the same kriya. Also, Rabbi Yehuda says later on, you don't do kriya on your minor rabbeim, only on a significant rabbeim, from which you learn most of your Torah. And Rabbi Yochanan argues on this over here, because Rabbi Yochanan did not learn most of his Torah from Rabbi Chanina, learned most of his Torah elsewhere, right? From Rabbi, from Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Chia. So therefore, over here, if he's doing Kriya, it must be always you do Kriya, even for your Rabbi who's not your Rabbi. Move up, even for your Rabbi who's not your main Rabbi. Okay? So says Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Poi, Rabbi Yehuda Betat, the argument in two. Again, the one thing is that he did Kriya on Rabbi Chanina, even though he didn't have to, and the other type of Kriya which he did. So it says the Gemara, says more Viter, where was my place? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda Betate. Basid Rabbi Lezer, Mishayim Kana, Rabbi Yehuda. And that which Rabbi Lezer said the name of Kana above, that you have to do above the hem. It's like Rabbi Yehuda, that every Kriya always has to be above the hem. You can never do a Kriya, meaning encompassing the hem. You never do a Kriya which doesn't encompass the hem. So says the Gemara, again, Basid Lezer, Mishayim Kana, Rabbi Yehuda. Says why be Rabbi Yehuda wait instead of going like Rabbi Yehuda, then you can't call Goro Leifos Kolikar. So a coin Goro What?
Where
did
Rabbi Yehuda
say
what he says?
Because
he says, you don't
cut three. You know, Rabbi Yehuda's later on. I don't even know if we have Rabbi Yehuda over here. But he says later on, I think we have later on. Rabbi Yehuda holds they have to kriya on all people who die on the hem. And Rabbi Yochanan gets to do it on the hem over here.
You mean all people
who die? All your Rabbi, even Rabbi Shena Mufak. Any Rabbi who dies, you have to kriya on, but it's not, you know, even if he's not the master, the Rabbi for which you learn most of your Torah. You have to clear no matter what. One second. Okay, so it's like this. Basa Lezer B'Shem Kana Rabbi Yehuda. Lezer name of Kana said like Rabbi Yehuda. What's that? That Rabbi Lezer said a couple lines ago in name Rav Kahana that you have to tear above your above and on the hem. And that is like Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to tear above and on the head. Okay? Now, be Rabbi Yehuda, if he's going to Rabbi Yehuda, however, lo even kolika, a kohen gadol should never be allowed to do any type of kriya, because he says, I got it now. The type of kriya a kohen gadol says is, does is on the bottom of his clothes. Right? He doesn't do a kriya on his head. So why does he do kriya at all? Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no such thing as kriya unless you do it through a hem. If you do a kriya somewhere there's no hem, this doesn't count as kriya, so why bother even doing it? That's Umar's question. Okay? Why bother doing kriya if you don't want to, if it doesn't do any good? So says Umar, lo as yodo, elo al aviv al imo krei meir. So Umar says, you're right, it's going like Rabbi Meir, that your father and mother,
Kohen Gadol's father,
yeah, Kohen Gadol.
So maybe that's the only
one
that you do
Kriya. It's got to be that, right? Well, I said, other than Imo Krei Meir, according to him, you actually do the hem. The Tani, Akom Mesim, your hearers. Okay, you're right. Tani, Akom Mesim, Eimad Yokonasafa, and all the Mesim, you don't have to tear a hem. Kohen Rei Meir, right? El Aviv Alimo, dear Ramir, only an Avivimo. And I guess Kohen Gadol's got to do Avivimo. Rabbi Yonah, Kol Keresh, Eino Mavdil Kadasof, if you don't do a rip through the seam, so then I raise a Keresh Tiflus. Then it's a meaningless tear, it's just a frivolous tear. So therefore, Lemaisa, Kohen Gadol, according to him, cannot tear because the Kohen Gadol has to tear into him, and any Kriya between him, Kohen Gadol can't tear. So Tanakama, which is where Meir holds, that a Kohen Gadol tears an all mason, but he doesn't rip the hem. His father and mother rips the hem. But he just says, no, any Kera has to rip the hem. And since any Kera has to rip the hem, so therefore, a Kohen Gadol never does any kara because we don't want him to rip a hem. My kedun, what does it come out? Chomer be Kohen Gadol, right? This is Chomer be Kohen Gadol. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it says you're shehei, but the emotion changes it. Shehei no madil kamen asafa. He never rips a hem, right? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, since he never rips a hem, so therefore he can't do any kriya whatsoever. According to Meir, it's not clear to me exactly. I have a feeling I'm making a mistake in Rabbi Meir. That Rabbi Meir says, when it said before, Rabbi Meir says, "Akol Meisa Erev Del Kohen Asaf El Avivimo Divrei Rabbi Meir," it's not going to Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol never does Kriya. Kohen Meir, Kohen Gadol never ever does Kriya.
Even for parents?
No, the other way around. Kohen Rabbi Yehuda, Kohen Gadol never does Kriya. Because Kriya always has to be on the hem. And Kohen Gadol can't carry a hem. It says explicitly impossible. So far, Yelapiv Saviv, Kefitach, Rog, Yelo, Loi, Korea. Kohen Gadol's got to make his beg at the meal in a way that he can't rip it. So Kohen Gadol, according to Rabbi Yehuda, never does Kriya, because Kriya tells ripping the hem, and he's not going to rip the hem. According to Meir, it's along other mason, other than your father and mother, a regular person rips, not on the hem, but rather rips somewhere in the garment, which is said to be less of a kriya. So he, on Avivimo, you have to rip the hem. So he will hold by a Kohen Gadol, he can rip when he has a misa, but he's not going to rip a hem because that's not allowed. He'll rip somewhere else on the garment. And that's like Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that you rip somewhere else, lamata, right? On the bottom. Before it was also Rabbi Elazar b'shem Rav Kahana said, you also rip somewhere else, right? There is both Rabbi Elazar b'shem Kahana, and the name Rav Kahana, and Rabbi Yochanan, you can rip somewhere else on the garment, and that'll work even for a Kohen Gadol. Okay? So the bottom line is that Rabbi Meir can hold, Kohen Gadol can do Kriya, just not rip the hem. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kohen Gadol can't do any Kriya because a Kriya not on the hem is a meaningless Kriya. It doesn't do any good. There's no such thing as a Kriya if it's not on the hem. It's not Kedin. Okay? So says the Gemara, Kohen Gadol makrivoinim. A Kohen Gadol can sacrifice when he's in Onen. V'lo'ochel, he cannot eat korbanos. Steve Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda me'er kol osayom. He can do work that entire day. Shomer garmer kol avodah sheish b'yodno. He finishes whatever avodah he has in his hands. Ubolo, and he leaves. Now, Bein Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon Chayav. Chir Meir and Rabbi Shimon is one aspect. Me according to Rabbi Shimon, you only complete the avodah you have in your hands and you go out. Kohen Meir, any avodah he intended to do, he could continue to do. Okay? Bein Ravina Rabbi Shimon Chayotchi, Ravina Rabbi Shimon, there's a difference as well. What's the difference? The difference is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he could sacrifice that entire day. According to Rabbi Shimon, after he completes that body which he has in his hand, he may not be makriv that day anymore. Okay? Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Rishon Rabbi Yehuda is the issue of hachnasa. What does that mean? Whether a guy, the Kohen Gadol, who was an onin, whether he can enter the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Meir, he can come and go as he pleases, because he has no restrictions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, as long as he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he can still do Avodah, but once he leaves, he cannot come back. Okay? Rabbi Yaakov ben Dusoy, Masi Benit, Rabbi Yaakov ben Dusoy said, where a person interrupts, that's the machlokas here. Rabbi Meir, says, it was inside the Beis HaMikdash. He can exit. And Hoya Bachutz, once he exits, Hoya Nichon to come back in again. In other words, the owner has no restrictions. He can come in, go out, do as much avoid as he wants. A Kohen Gadol is an owner, right? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hoya Bifnim, it was inside. It should say, instead of Hoya Nichon, say, Loya Yetze. He doesn't have to leave. But Hoya Bachutz, he was outside Loya Nichlas, he wouldn't enter the base of Medrash. Okay, that was his shita. Rav Shemer, Koymer, Ko Avoida, Sheyesh Biyodo, he completes anything which he's doing in his hands right now, Ubolo, and he must leave. He cannot even stay. Koymer, Mer, he can come and please, he goes. Koymer, as long as he's there, he can stay. According to Rav Shemer, he just completes the Avoida is engaged in, the Koymer goal became an Oyen, and he leaves the base of Medrash. Says the
Cannot eat meat, right?
See, that's right. What? Yeah, but that's only the Rabbanim. You can't eat Rabbanim, it's the Raisa. It means the Rabbanim. So, Rabbuna said, Masniso our Mishnah should be, it's not Reish Lokesh, but rather Rabbi Shimon, it's like Rabbi Shimon. Because it says, Minamikdash lo yetzei, says when he doesn't leave the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't leave together with them. But rather, Avol yetzei achreim, he leaves, he's always one step behind them. So that's the Rabbi Shimon, because smashing for a Mishnah, he must leave. He follows the procession, he follows the distance, but he must leave. Because according to the other Tanaim, he doesn't have to leave, or he can just come back. Okay? Says the Mara, they go to Ali and he's concealed, and so on and so forth. The Yetzim and Petzach here, and he goes out with them to the opening of the city, to Divrei Meir. And you don't remember any Yetzim and Mikdash, she doesn't leave the Beis HaMikdash. She never says to me, and Mikdash, she lo Yetzay. He may not leave the Beis HaMikdash. Yotza, if he leaves the Beis HaMikdash, lo yechozer, he wouldn't go back. Same thing which you mentioned before. Ravov Shem Rebbe Lezer said, Vosene Rebbe Lezer, Ein Anius al Mesu Vara. First of all, he comes in Onen, who's forbidden to touch him on a mace. The Seder says, Vanu Vav Lu Psachea. They will become Onen because of Avelus. So, Hezer Chira, the Chira Bada says, Voxi, let's say, Vona the Yogin, the fishermen will be Onanim. So about there, because they won't have enough fish anymore. So we see, it can mean Onan even over fish. Says, Mari Chanina, Chinna said, Kini Masnisa. We meant to say, of course, it's a concept of being sad over lack of fish. If you're a fisherman, then you're sad, there's no fish. When you say, Aninus Tuma, just push out the door. Push. The prohibition on eating kachim as a result of being oni, that only applies on tumas meis. We're locked in. Oh well, guess we'll have to keep learning. So it doesn't mean that your tummy oni is not necessarily tummy, right? It means you can't eat kachim because of its restriction of oni. He can't eat kachim because of the restriction of onen. That's only true when it's over a mace, not over anything else. Okay? Says more further, Kani Ezu Yanino. When are you an onen? Mishas Misa Chas Kfura. The time we had this in Pesachim a long time ago. Mishas Misa Chas Kfura. The time the person dies and until the time is buried. Give you a Rebbe. Chomri and close to Yom Chomri say just the first day. Just one, it's one day. Achris Markulas Vachumras, What's the distinction? He dies and is buried on within that day, right, within hours. His status, his own name, lingers the entire rest of the day, even after the mace is buried. Is only also from the time of death until the time of burial, which is more or less the way you pass it. Now, vice versa, mace nikbar lachar shloshim, what if he dies, but is only buried 3 days later? Is only an onen, also ti kachim, koin gara, right? Also kolos hayom, is also only that day. Also shloshim is also all 3 days teach kachim. So Asher, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Vos, and here came Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chisit, Habein, Morin. They both say, you know what? Mode Rabbi Chachamim, Rabbi concedes to Chachamim that She'ein Asher Lo Soyem Bavadi. He doesn't go 3 days. At least not by a Kohen Gadol. By regular owning his manazeh, with potem in a mitzvahs, right? That can go on and on. But the Kohen Gadol, not to eat kachim, it's only that one day. Right? Or anybody not to eat kachim, for that matter, as we'll see momentarily. Now, says the Gemara, Kadar de Tani, like that which we learned, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi said, Teide l'cho she'en aninus, laila teira. Aninus of nighttime is not teira. Now, here there's a different girsa in the Leiden manuscript. I didn't look up the Leiden manuscript, as a hedge, I don't have it. But I look back on Pesachim, and Lieberman brings it down there. And when we learned Pesachim, I didn't bring down this different girsa, and I learned the Gemara differently. And now I think I have better shot in it than when I learned it back then. So we've improved over the years. So in any event, so it says here, it should be Teilchosh Ed Aninus Yoin Torah. Aninus during the day is not Doraisa, right? How do we know Aninus during the day is not Doraisa? Sheomer, they said, Oinain, a person's Oinain, Toivo V'Echo Pisco Lerem. Now, somebody died in his house, right? One of his relatives. So he's anointed. Right now he couldn't eat. Yet, we shech the Korban Pesach on him, he toivels, and that night he comes to eat the Korban Pesach. Right? Now, hare omruv, so it says, well, wait a minute, how can they possibly do this? Vare, if he's still anointing at night, right? The mate's not buried. How can he possibly eat the Korban Pesach that night? Varei, it should be, the way it reads in Pesachim is, Varei aninus yom asu osa teira. They made aninus as if it's the raisa. Yes, true. Aninus is not the raisa, right? It's not the raisa, meaning that once that day has passed, once the day has passed, he's already allowed to eat kachim, right? But they made it the raisa, they made it like the raisa, so how can you catch him that night? How can you eat the Korban Pesach that night? It's since the mate's not buried, he still has a status of oinin. Now bear in mind, this is known as chayvim mitzvahs, because Allah is an oinin, is only put their mitzvahs on a weekday, right? So he's chayvim mitzvahs already, right? But there's Allah and oinin can he catch him independent of his chayvim mitzvahs, right? So how can you catch him that night? He's still an oinin, right? So says the Gemara, must be, from this we prove, since he could eat kachim that night, that aninus ends, the aninus of asking you to eat kachim, ends at sunset. Right? And then you can eat that to eat Korban Pesach or not. Night. Says, well, no, not necessarily. Maybe it's talking about where the guy got his buried Pesach afternoon. You're assuming this guy is still anointing at night, and it's, for this we see that the aninus, even according to Rebbe, stops at the end of the day. Who says? Maybe he's talking, maybe they already buried the guy. That's why he's no longer anointing. If that's the case, then what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that you can shech the Korban Pesach on a guy, even though now he's an onen, knowing that that night he'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Okay? That's what Mishnah's saying. Okay, let's just finish the omer. Shumanachim es acher. This clock is a bit fast, I think. Shumanachim es acher. Is it? 1 minute? 2 minutes? According to my watch, it is. Shumanachim es acher. When he is menachim others, the Kohen Gadol is menachim others, there kolam oivim zachar, as everybody passes by him. V'amemuna mematzo b'no b'nam, and he has like a buffer, a bodyguard, the guy in charge between him and the nation. When other people console him, they say, I need kaparoso, I should atone for you. For Melem, he says, he's broken the shrine, be blessed from the heavens. Ukshemarvino, so when he eats the Suda Savra, they all sit on the ground. Who makes it a Safsal? He sits on a bench. This is a Kohen Gadol. Adar Amar teaches us Safsal, Embo Mishun Kviya Samita. To sit on a bench is not considered to be lowering your bed, because he sits on a bench as a sign of the honor. Kohen Gadol Chai Bekviya Samita. Kohen Gadol, however, his own bed, not in public. He's got to lower his own bed. Tani, Embo Tzidah Samit Somal Kriya Shema. You don't take an amaze to bury right before the time of Kriya Shema. They do it either before or after, slightly, in order to give time to say Shema and David. Says, wait a minute. Then within a case, they buried a maze and then they came back to say Shema. So says, the obvious answer, they thought they had time, but it turned out there was no time. Time learned to hespate. Well, somebody is eulogizing. Anybody who's involved in that aspect, mafsikin lekriya shema v'lo tefila. They interrupt for shema, which is to write some benafid davening, which is only the rabbanon. Anyway, there was a case. Mafsikin rabbi say the kriya shema v'lo tefila. There was a case where the rabbi stopped for both kriya shema and tefila. How come tefila is only the rabbanon? Right? No, actually, that's not the question. The question is the topic of Yudal. Then we learn, they shouldn't have started hespate, right? They shouldn't have started the hespate if they didn't know that if it was the time of Kriya Shema Tefila, why they start the hespate and then stop. They first started said Shema Tefila and then done the hespate. Says Mar Mas Nisan Biyom Rishon Matatani Biyom Sheni. The Mishnah says you first do Shema at this Bryce which said they did the Hespade even though they hadn't yet done Shema and Tefila, it's on the first day of Avelus, meaning on the day of the burial. So then, you know, if you know you have enough time, so what you do is you do first the burial and then you come back and do Shema and Tefila. The second day though, however, it's the other way around. Since he's already buried, you just want to do hespate. First, you do Shema and Tefila, and then only afterwards do you do the hespate. Okay? We'll stop here.